Fantastic, guys. Thank you so much for ministering to us this morning. I'm glad that they're going to represent our church this week, aren't you? That's fantastic. I'm glad that they're representing. So that's awesome, guys. We'll be praying for you this week. They're performing Tuesday between 1 and 3. So we're going to get that on live on Facebook Live is what we're shooting for. So you can see it, and it's going to be a great day. Man, what a great day of worship today. And I still get to preach, too, on top of all that. Man, it's been fantastic. I'm so proud to stand up here and see my kids and your kids leading us in worship. That's what it's all about. And man, what a great day. I want to do something before I get started. Josh, come up here real quick. And I want to take a second to celebrate something in our church. About a year ago, we asked this young man to take leadership of our Kid City worship every Sunday. It's already been a year. It's hard to believe. And over the last year, he has brought a fresh creativity, a fresh focus, as you saw this morning with these kids. And every, you know, just being able to take a piece of candy and teach God's word with it and it be impactful and practical and something that they can remember is pretty incredible. And Josh does what he does back there with purpose. You guys who have kids know that. He's not back there babysitting. He does an incredible job. And this is just a small little something from the church, Josh, to say thank you for a great first year. Give him a big hand, man. Thank you so much. I love you, man. Appreciate you. Now, we know it's back to school Sunday, and so I'm going to speak a back to school message this morning, but I'm going to kind of hold off till next week for what I feel like I want to say to you as your new lead pastor. I thought I'd feel this way next week because my mind's kind of set where I'm going today, but I'm overwhelmed today with your love, with your support and appreciation for me and my family. And Pastor Merritt has shared over the last month what their side, him and Miss Kim's side of this journey has been like to bring them to what's happened in the life of our church. And I'm really anxious next week to share with you what our part of that story is, because it's indeed the hand of God has been in it. And I am so confident that that God has his hand on our church and on our lives that I just I just can't wait to share that with you next week. So next week I'm going to kind of give that thought. But today's back to school Sunday, and we're all thinking about that. Those of us with kids and those of us with grandkids and our teachers, which we have a ton of teachers and school personnel. So we're gonna turn that page today and then head on the other side of things tomorrow. So the last few days I've kind of caught myself using this term, celebrating going back to school. But that is not true. I'm seeing these kids are like, I'm not celebrating going back to school. I know that the teachers are not celebrating going back to school, but there is one group of people this morning who might be celebrating going back to school, as is revealed in this video clip. Take a look at this. See if anybody feels like this.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's that time of year again.
Going back! It's back to school time at Staples! Over 7,000 supplies and guaranteed low prices!
It's the most wonderful time of the year!
Staples. That was easy.
Anybody remember that? I love that song.
That's one of my favorite Christmas songs, and I love it with Back to School. It's just the marketing room, somebody nailed that one. Well, not everybody feels like that dad. Some of you got kids, and you love the summers off because it gives you an opportunity to spend more time with your kids. But I think a lot of parents are like this dad because one of the main things is you like the return of routine. Because in the summer, routine goes out the window. And so this morning, the title of my message is Routine Reset. So what we're going to talk about this morning, about what it looks like to reset our routine. Now, in my house, that happens in a real way because my wife's a teacher. All three of my kids are in school. My oldest son came home and he's working this summer from college. But routine went out the window for us this summer. And you know what that means. It means sleeping in. It means staying up late. It means saying, well, let's just go to the beach today. Or it means we're just going out today. We're going shopping today. And one of the things that we all like to do, if we're a teacher, a student, or not, is we like to go on vacation, right, in the summer. And a lot of you have gone on a vacation this summer. And I think the thing we love about vacation is it gets us out of routine. You can sleep in. You know, you can stay up late. You can do what you want to. You're not on anybody's time clock, and it's a wonderful thing. But all of us are dictated in some way or another by routine. Every one of us who have a job in here have got a routine that we go through every day. How many of you would raise your hand and say, one of my parts of my daily routine is coffee? Oh, my Lord, I'm seeing hands go up. I ain't seen go up in years. Praise God. Coffee. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Some of you are saying it. I'm telling you. That's a part of many of our routines. And how many say, I got to have it to go? I mean, I got to have it just to make my routine happen. Well, the definition of routine, you know what it is. It's a sequence of actions and a pattern that we get into. And it's a fixed program. And this week, as we get back into a routine, one of the biggest things for these students and for your kids, it's going to mean we got to get up early now. We got to get back on a schedule. These middle and high school students, over the last few days, and their email, they got a schedule that said, this is what your routine is going to look like. And I saw some of them putting it on Instagram and sharing, do we have the same classes, and comparing things about their routine. And you know, that's part of that. Elementary school teachers. I know we got some of those here today. And I've never been in an elementary school classroom that didn't have the routine on the board. And if you're an elementary school student between kindergarten and fifth grade, you'll start school this week, you'll get in your class, and if you were like me, I would look for two things on that list. When are we going to lunch, and when are we going to recess? Those are the two most important things to a kid when it comes to routine. But it doesn't end there. When you get home, there's a routine. You get a snack, you feed the dog, you or the cow, or whatever y'all got over there. You might be doing that till 10 o'clock at night, but you do all those things, and you get through that, eat supper, take a shower, do your homework, get in bed early so you can do what? Do it all again tomorrow, the same old routine, the same old thing. Now, routine can be a good thing because routine can promote good habits. We can get in a routine that's good with our eating or with our diet or with our exercise and all those things. But sometimes routine can become unproductive, right? Has anybody ever gotten to a rut in your routine? Let me see your hand. Anybody ever got in a rut routine? And that's the first thing I want you to see this morning is that routine can create ruts. That's happened to all of us. Now, what's a rut? Okay, a rut is a habit or a pattern of behavior that we get into that's become dull and hard to change. And it doesn't mean, if you've ever gotten to a rut, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not active, that you're not doing anything, that you're lazy, but it means you're just kind of doing the same old thing. It kind of reminds me of a little toy I used to have as a kid, a little plastic toy that you would wind up on the side, and it had these feet that would kind of move like this. Anybody remember these toys? You put them on the floor, wind them up, and they'd walk like this. But if that toy ever walked up against a wall, it didn't have the ability to turn itself around and go the other way. It would keep walking against that wall until it ran out of energy and ran out of power, and eventually it would just be stuck with one leg up or whatever. I remember those toys. And that's kind of how it is with us when we get in a routine, a rut in our routine. We're just kind of walking up against the wall. We're doing stuff, but it's not really stuff that is productive. And we can be exhibiting a lot of energy, but really not getting anything done. Routine can become mindless, and it can become heartless, and we can just be going through the same old thing the same old way. And you know what going through the same old thing the same old way results in? The same old you, right? If you keep doing that over and over and over, that's just kind of what happens with you. You can get into a rut with eating bad. You can get into a rut with not doing exercise. You can get into a rut in your productivity at work. And you're working, but it really doesn't seem like you've got a lot of energy. You've got a lot of creativity. You're just kind of mindlessly doing what you're doing. But this message today isn't about a self-help message, okay? Some of you are just like, where's the scripture? It's coming. Wait. This isn't a self-help message for you to just think about, you know, all of those things. Because you can Google all of those things and figure out how you can eat better and how you can get to bed better and all that stuff. I was looking through some stuff this week, and it said that if you're in a routine and maybe you're depressed or sad, that one website I looked at said that you need to go to the mirror. I would love to see some of y'all doing this. Go to the mirror and smile 100 times. Now, I was just thinking, you know, as I read that, what in the world would that look like? 1, 2, 3. I mean, by the time I'm 10, I'm not smiling anymore. I'm a little frustrated. Do you mark it as you go? You know, but the article said that when you smile, something happens in your body chemistry and you release endorphins or something like that, and it makes you smarter or better or more productive, whatever that means, okay? Some of you are going to go try that. Don't let your spouse walk in and see you in the mirror doing that. They might call somebody. But even, so that's one of the things that you can do. But here's what I want to drop on you today, okay? This is a thought I want to give you about your routine, and it's something that I'm going to say several times today, okay? And that's this. The most important thing you can do for your day-to-day routine is that you develop a routine that centers on knowing who Jesus is and who He has created you to be. Develop a routine that centers on who Jesus is and who He has created you to be. Now, Paul, here's your scripture, in Philippians 3:10 said 5 words that kind of sums up his whole life and his whole passion and everything that he was about. And it was, I want to know Christ. That was Paul's motto. That was his vision statement. Everything that Paul was about was those 5 words, I want to know Christ. Everybody say it with me. I want to know Christ. That was everything for Paul. That was his prayer. And when he uses that word know in that scripture, that's a key thing, because it's not like the person who's sitting beside you today. You know them. It's your might be your spouse or your mom or dad or a friend. You know them, and you know the people sitting behind you. But Paul was saying, when he said, I want to know Christ, that word know is translated from a word that means I want to know Christ in the most deep, personal, intimate way possible. I just don't want to be familiar with Him and kind of know some stories about Jesus, but I want to know Jesus as deeply and as intimately and as personally as possible, okay? So, I want you to ask yourself something this morning, okay? Everybody just stop and think for a moment about your daily routine. Think about it. What are you including in your day-to-day routine that's helping you to know Christ? What do you do every day that helps you to know Jesus more? Now, our first thought today was that routine can create ruts, okay? Is it true that you can get in a rut in your relationship with Jesus? Absolutely. You sure can. You can have time set aside to read your Bible, to read the best devotion book on the planet, to listen to Christian music, to pray, and still be in a rut with those things. You can come to church every Sunday. You can be in a small group. You can be serving and doing things around the church, but still be in a rut in your relationship with Jesus. See, just because you're doing a lot of Christian things doesn't necessarily mean that you're being productive in getting to know Jesus in a more intimate, personal way. Let me give you an example, and this has happened to all of us. One morning this week, I was sitting in my chair. I've been reading my devotion and reading the Bible, and I began to pray, and as I was sitting there trying to pray, activity began in my house. The kids were getting up to go to band camp. And so I'm hearing movement and activity and yelling and screaming and this and that. And as all this is going on, I'm trying to pray. And I just finally just said, I knew what I was going to be talking about, so I was like, I'll apply my own sermon. And I just said, you know what, I can pray right now, but I'm not going to be very focused. It's not going to be from me to God. I'll just be kind of saying it. So I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to catch up later today on this, because right now I'm just too distracted. Has that ever happened to any of you before? You're there, you're trying to do what you want to do in your devotion time or prayer time or whatever it is, and something's going on, and you're just distracted. And if you did it, you would be reading the Bible. We've all done it, reading the Bible, and you're thinking about something else that you got to do. That's how we can be doing good things, but actually kind of being unproductive and it not hitting us. Now, there is a variety of religious or churchy things that you can be a part of that you can find yourself in a spiritual rut. And this was true of the religious leaders and teachers of Jesus' day. Do you know who gave Jesus the biggest headaches and the biggest pushback to his ministry? It was the church people. It was the Pharisees and the preachers and the teachers and the religious people. Those were the ones who were pushing back on Jesus more than anybody else. It wasn't the sinners and the tax collectors and the prostitutes and all of those people. Those were the people who were attracted to Jesus and wanted to spend time with him. It was all of these other people who were pushing back. And you know why? It was because the religious people of that day were stuck in a religious rut. They were following the letter of the scripture, the law, so much so that they didn't even realize that Jesus was who that they were reading about and knew about. They were like that toy I was talking about that gets up against the wall. They were robotic in their approach. It was like they were saying, we must follow the letter of the law. We must follow the commandments. We cannot get out of sight of what the word says. We've got to do everything in the Levitical law. So much so that the one who wrote the law, the lawgiver, is standing in front of them. And they're like, well, who do you think you are doing these things? Now, one of the most amazing stories to me about this is found at the end of Mark chapter 2 and the beginning of Mark chapter 3. Now, it is the Sabbath. It's Sunday. Jesus is walking through a field of grain with his disciples. Now, he's got 12 guys with him. They're walking through this field talking. And if you were walking through a field of grain and you were hungry, what would you do? You'd pop some off and throw some in your mouth and eat it, right? And so they're just walking through casually, going to where they're going. The disciples are popping off some grain, putting it in their mouth, eating it. And one of the Pharisees said, whoa, 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 what are y'all doing? Jesus, what do you mean that your disciples are harvesting grain on the Sabbath? Now, if I would have been Jesus, I would have not been as sanctified as he was. First of all, I would have said, obviously, you do not understand the word harvest. Because we are walking through, popping off some grain, and just having a snack. But these guys got their britches in a wad, all tore up because what they were doing. Now, later, go into Mark chapter 3, it says they're in the church one day. There's a man on the front row. Pastor Kevin, stick your hand out and do this. He's got a withered up hand. And the scripture doesn't say that he was a plant, but I almost wonder If the disciple, if the Pharisee said, hey, you know, that guy with the withered hand who comes to church sometimes, make sure he's here this Sunday. So they pulled him in and they put him on the front row. And they sat back and they said, all right, here comes Jesus and his disciples. Let's see what he does to the man with the withered hand. And so Jesus says, hey, come on, fellow with the withered hand, come on up here. He calls the guy up, y'all, in front of the Pharisees, and he said, you see this boy with the withered hand? Now, what's the right thing for me to do on the Sabbath? Would it be the right thing for me to heal him? Or would it be the wrong thing for me to heal them? And you know what they said? What you're saying right now? Nothing. And Jesus said, be healed. And the man's hand is healed. And of course, thank you, sir. God bless you. You're a good, healed man. And of course, they get all bent out of shape again, and they go out, and listen to this. It says that they went to Herod, and they began to start plotting how they would kill Jesus. Really? Now, these men are so focused on their religious routine. They are so religious that they have missed the total point that the one who wrote the very laws and gave the very laws that they are trying to follow is right in front of them. They were so religious that the scripture says they added laws on top of the laws. And Jesus was kind of like, you know what? I'm going to do my thing. I am going to fulfill my mission, and I'm just not going to worry about them anymore. We can be like the Pharisees sometimes. Yeah, I don't, you know, not a lot of people are nodding their heads on that, but we can be. Because sometimes we can be so much into our church stuff and everything we're doing for God and reading and praying and doing all the things and serving and all these things that we miss the point of what Jesus really wants to do in our lives. And we can be doing these things and we can be stuck in a spiritual rut. Spiritual ruts also happen the opposite way. I've heard people say many times who kind of got out of the habit of coming to church. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, we've just got out of the habit of coming to church and it's just so hard to get back in the habit. Once you get out of the habit, it's hard to get back in the habit again. I've heard people say that before. And I suppose that that's true. And so they've gotten into a spiritual rut of not coming to church. And they're good people, people who even love the Lord and are saved. But they kind of got into a routine and a rut that keeps them away from the house of God. So ruts can happen either way. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is what I told to you a while ago. And that's that statement. All of us, if we want to have that passion that Paul had, I want to know Christ, we've got to develop a routine in our lives that causes us to know who Jesus is and who he created us to be. Now, routines, we've said, can create ruts, but routine can also do something else. Routine can also cultivate relationship. And I'm glad about that. Because routine can get us in a rut, surely, but a good routine can also cultivate a relationship. Now, I asked you a few minutes ago, we stopped, and I said, consider what you are doing every day to help you to know Christ, okay? Now, I want to ask you, is what you thought about, is what you're doing every day in your routine to get to know Christ better, is it cultivating a relationship that's closer with Jesus? Is it working? I guess is what I'm asking you today. Now, let's talk about that word cultivate, okay? That's an agriculture term. Cultivate means to prepare land for growing crops, to break up the soil, right? If you've ever, I don't know if there's any farmers in here. I'm sure there's some men in here before who've been on a tractor and worked in a field. But if you've ever planted a tree in your yard, or you've put sod in your yard, or you've planted a garden, or you've planted flowers, you've done some cultivating, right? And you got to do a little bit of cultivating and digging in the ground to get things to change so that you can put whatever it is that you want to put in the ground. Right now, back behind the Life Center, you might have noticed, but over the last few months, we have 5 acres back there that's wide open, and we've been cultivating that land for the last few months. We had somebody who came in, and they were testing the soil and figuring out what the pH levels and all, I guess whatever all that was, and figuring out would it work to grow grass that we want to grow back there. And so we had a group of men, a team, I don't know what they were, but they came in and they tested the soil and they turned it up and they put lime down in it, and they're doing all this stuff back there, cultivating the land so we can plant grass to eventually have that for sports fields and ball fields and picnics and all types of fun stuff that's going to happen soon in the future of our church. So that's something we've been doing here to cultivate the land. But your day-to-day routine, it can cultivate in your life a deeper, stronger relationship with Christ. And it should do that. Now, I don't know how many of you got up this morning and read the Bible and read something from Hosea. That's one of those scriptures that we probably don't go to a lot. But there's a scripture in Hosea that works perfectly for this. In Hosea 10:12, look at this. It says, "Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you." Look at that. Everybody look at it. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. To make a change in hard ground, what have you got to do? You got to cultivate it. You got to plow it up. You got to turn it up, okay? Now, this is a little tool that I use at my house when I need to do a little cultivating. And I run this thing down. It cultivates the yard and the flower beds or whatever it does. And with this thing, it turns things over so that I can cultivate and get ready to plant something. Okay, this is like a little tiny mini plow, I guess you could say, or disc like you would use in a big giant field. But sometimes our routine, we're in such a routine in our lives that we're just going through the motions with our relationship with God, and we're not doing a lot of things that are cultivating a relationship with Christ. Now, how does the ground get hard? It gets hard because of a lack of cultivation and a lack of rain. Now, right now, we got soft ground, y'all. Good gracious, we've had so much rain this summer. One of the wettest summers I can ever remember. So we don't have that problem right now, but we have had summers where we did. And you know how it is. We might not have a drop between now and September and could be dry as dirt by then. And Dave Turley will tell us we're way behind for the year. So it can change quickly. But this verse really speaks to us because our lives as believers can often become that hard ground. I was reading a devotion a few weeks ago that said this. It said, "Running on empty has become the new normal for many Christians." I want you to hear this morning. Running on empty has become the new normal for many Christians. We can live on empty and still be reading and praying and coming to church and serving and doing all those things. A couple days ago, and I asked him if I could share this, but Clay Waters put on Facebook a couple days ago, he said, "I think I'm losing my mind." He said, "I went to Parker's today, I paid for gas, and then went home and realized I never put it in my tank." And Clay, in your defense, a lot of people wrote on your post and said, "I've done the same thing." So either they were lying to make you feel better, or there's a lot of people who've done that too. And I thought about that yesterday when I was studying my message, and I said, uh-huh, that's how we are. We pull up here to church, or we pull up in our devotion time, and we pull up to get fueled up, and we can do what we need to do, like read or pray and pay, and walk away not filled up. Is that just me? Have you ever come to church and you're here and you walk away and you're like, "Well, that seemed like a pretty good service, but I walk out today and I'm like, I'm just kind of like the same way." Well, whose fault was that? I don't have the pulpit to hide behind this morning, but I don't know if it's mine or the worship or whoever it is, but let's think about this for a second. really, we serve an all-powerful, almighty, all-sustaining God, all-sustaining Father. And I don't think that He intends to have a bunch of defeated, depleted, dull children running around always out of gas. It would be like if my kids... Now, yesterday, I heard this in my house. We ain't got nothing to eat around here. No, it won't, Brock. It was you. You better get in the altar right now. Lord have mercy. Oh, stretch your hands right here. We got lion in the house of God. He's throwing his brother in. That was Brock. What do we need for breakfast? What does mom need to get for breakfast? This was a conversation yesterday. Oh, no, we ain't got nothing. Two boxes of unopened cereal at the top of the cabinet. I'm like, you just ain't looking in the right place. But she went to the grocery store yesterday, got all kinds of stuff. Now, it would be like if my kids, we've got groceries in the pantry, we got food in the refrigerator and in the freezer, and they're just walking around for days not eating, saying, well, we don't have anything to eat around here. There's nothing to eat. But the cupboard's full. Let that flip in your brain to the spiritual application. We serve a God who is all-powerful and almighty and all-sustaining. And He has a warehouse that's full of strength and power and might for us. Then why in the world do we walk around on empty all the time? Why do I go around on empty so often? And it, like I said, it's not sometimes because we're not reading and doing the things we need to do. It's because we can get in that routine rut and we're doing it and we're just not plugging in. So this is what we need to do. Everybody with a cell phone or a tablet, get it out, hold it up, cut it off. If you haven't cutting it off yet this morning, cut it off, okay? Everybody, this isn't a message about cutting your phones off, but that's a good idea. Unless you read scripture or take notes on it. Cut them off, okay? Mine's off too. Everybody cut them off. And as soon as you get them off and you see it's off, cut it right back on. And all the students just went, oh, okay, I can breathe. Somebody calls it life support for the teenager. They're on life support. All right, get your phone back on. I know it takes them a minute to go off and get back on. All right, there we go. I see my apple, so I know she's waking back up. Okay, now, what did we just do? What are we doing right now to our phones? We're resetting them. We're rebooting them. Sometimes my phone doesn't want to talk to the Wi-Fi, so I reset it, and then it likes to talk to the Wi-Fi. Anybody's computer ever get locked up? Now, if that'll test your sanctification, I don't know anything will. You reach down there, you hold down the power button for 5 seconds, it goes off, you bring it back on, it's like, oh, everything's wonderful and lovely again. So there's something about a reboot and a refresh that does something to your phone and your computer, doesn't it? And so yesterday I emailed my resident expert on everything that's got a power button, and that's Jack. And I said, Jack, just in a way that a country boy from North Carolina can understand, tell me what's going on in a computer when you cut it on and off. And he sent me this little sentence. And I'm going to read it to you because I'm not smart enough to memorize all this stuff. Every technological device, from a phone to a laptop to even a Nintendo 3DS, has a piece of hardware called, anybody know what it is? A RAM. What does it stand for? Random access memory. Man, we got some computer folks in here. The RAM temporarily holds information from apps and programs, etc. Just because you close an app or a program doesn't mean the RAM forgets the app. Over time, the RAM can get clogged up. It can get what? Clogged up. And when you reset or reboot, the RAM gets cleared because it's only temporary memory. So a reboot helps it forget and start over at the beginning. I said sometimes RAM gets what? You told me? Clogged up. And that's sometimes what happens to us. We kind of get clogged up. We got so much going on, and we're doing things spiritually, you know what I'm saying? But we're not growing in our relationship with God. That thing that Paul talked about, I want to know Christ, it's not happening inside of us because we got so much going on. So, what we need to do is we need to do with our spiritual lives what we did with our phones, and that's have a routine reset. We need to reboot our routine. Here's how you do it. This is super practical. And I just believe it'll work if we'll do it. First of all, you reset how you pursue Jesus. Reset how you pursue Jesus. Now, a few minutes ago when you pulled back from your life and you thought, what am I doing to cultivate a relationship with Jesus every day? Okay? If you're sitting here and you're saying, not a whole lot. Right now, I don't read the Bible. I don't read devotion. I don't pray. I don't listen to Christian music. There's not a lot that I'm doing. Well, your answer is real easy. Start doing something. Okay? Do something that's going to kind of get those things going. If you're doing those things and it's kind of, you're kind of stuck in a rut, read a different part of the Bible. My gosh, that's groundbreaking theology this morning. I'm serious. Sometimes you'll get in a rut, and I'm like, I have read this book a million times. And I'll flip somewhere else and be like, well, my goodness, there's fresh things I've never even thought about. Read a different part of the Bible. Go get a Christian book that from somebody that can give you a fresh perspective of a part of Scripture. Find a devotion that you can read. Find somebody that you can go have a cup of coffee with or send an email to every couple of days and say, hey, I've been reading in the book of Psalms, and this is what God is saying to me. What's God saying to you? Right there, reboot. Life poured into you right there as you do that. Maybe you flip over from the oldies and the country station. And you know, I flip over there sometimes too, you know. But sometimes you just need to flip over to something that's Christian. Air One or what's the other one? His Radio. And, you know, sometimes I'm listening to His Radio and somebody will call in and they'll play one of those testimonies. My goodness, I had to pull the car over the other day. Somebody calls in and said, I was in this situation and this moment and I needed to hear from God. I cut on His Radio and this song from Casting Crowns came on and it spoke exactly what I needed to hear. And I'm like, well, there you go. Holy Spirit doing His work. Sometimes you just got to put a little bit of effort in to give that window open so that God can speak in your life. Amen? So reset how you pursue Jesus. All of those things. Do something that's going to reset your pursuit of Him. Here's the second thing. Reset how you approach church. When you walked in here this morning, did you walk in here expecting for God to do something in your life? Or you just barely drag in and get the kids here. I hope it ain't long today because I sure am hungry. I didn't even get breakfast today. Do you come in expecting that God is going to do something? Do you come in anticipating, ready for the presence of God to hear the word and to worship and to be with other people? Do you come in excited because I've told one of the pastors in this church that I'm going to come and serve and be a part of what's going on? Did you come in this morning and say a prayer before you came for the pastor? Did you pray for the worship team? Did you pray for your Kid City director on Kid City days? And do you pray for your youth pastor on Wednesday nights? Do you change how you approach church? Do you come in believing that we do serve an all-sustaining, all-sufficient, almighty God who whenever I come in here, I realize I am coming into a place where I can meet with God? If we reset our thoughts about church, I'm telling you, if like 50% of us in here would reset the way we thought about church when we walked in here next week, if we had been praying, and I'm not saying you're not, but if we really reset that and we were praying and seeking and excited and expectant, man, you could not hold back. What it would be like in here if we all came in here ready to go. Man, I can't wait for Sunday morning. Nothing's going to keep me from being there Sunday morning to worship and hear from God. Reset our approach for church. Say to yourself, man, I refuse for this just to be routine. I refuse to show up and worship, just be the same old. I refuse to not walk out without something that I can take home and think about and chew on all week. So reset your pursuit of Jesus. Reset your approach to church. And lastly, reset how you serve others. Reset how you serve others. Now, this one thought that I've been giving you all morning, I'm going to give it to you one more time. When you develop a routine that centers on knowing who Jesus is and who He created you to be, then you're right where He wants you to be. Because the last part of that, I love the first part, a routine that centers on knowing who Jesus is, but the last part, man, when I wrote that up the other day, I kind of pushed back. I was like, now that's good. Because that is the evidence of God working in our lives. Because when I get to know who Jesus is, guess what? He's going to show me who He created me to be. And then things are just going to bust wide open in regards to what we're talking about here, resetting how you serve others. Because when you get to know who Jesus is, He's going to show you what your purpose is. And there's a lot of people I see who live life without purpose, without drive and motivation, and I believe often it's because they don't really know who Jesus is. When I found out who Jesus was, and I have a relationship with Him, He showed me and revealed to me what my purpose was. And when Jesus is alive in me, it makes a difference in what happens in me every day of my life. Jesus alive in me means that I live with the fruit of the Spirit coming out of me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Every day, every minute? Oh, absolutely not. Because I still got a lot of less in here. I still got a lot of self in here. And I got to crucify that. I got to put the old man to bed very often. But when Jesus is on the inside, boy, I think about an old song we used to sing. Jesus on the inside, Church of God folks, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, we go back to the 80s on that one. But that's true. That's good theology. Because when Jesus is on the inside, He begins to work in us on the outside. And you'll stand out on your job. You'll treat people at Walmart who just deserve one of these. You'll treat them like Jesus would. Because you got Jesus living on the inside. And you'll think about, you know what? Everybody's got a story. And everybody is the way they are because of their story. And maybe Jesus is putting me in their life, in their situation at this time, so I can love them and care for them. When you reset how you serve others, you will look for opportunities to serve others in your home, in your community, and in your church. Kevin, if you'll come and play something. So this is the thought I want to leave with you this morning, okay? Students, look right here. Here's my question for you. What would happen, and what would this school year look like for you if you did what we talked about this morning? College or high school? Kids as well. What would this year look like for you if you performed this routine reset in your pursuit of Christ? Adults, what would change in your day-to-day life if you did this reset that we're talking about this morning? What would change in your family? What would change on your job? What would change in the people that you come into contact with every day if you did that routine reset that we're talking about today? What would our church look like if we all performed this kind of routine reset in our lives? What would our communities and our families and this place look like if we begin to reset the way we think about serving in the kingdom of God and serving others? See, Christianity is so much more. Following Jesus is so much more than saying a prayer and asking Christ into your heart so that you can have eternal life. That's just the very beginning. Because He calls us into relationship with Him, that when we begin in that process, We walk with Jesus every day. And the last night that Jesus was on this planet before he went to the cross, he looked across the table at his disciples in John 15:9, and these are the words he said: remain in me. Remain in me. He knew what was coming. He knew what they were going to face. Remain in me. And that's what we're called to do as believers. Not just to say the prayer, but every day. And there is life. There is energy. We can throw the ruts out the window when we remain in him. Stand with me this morning. Is there anybody here today who would say, Pastor Les, I am outside of a relationship with Christ. I'm not following Jesus Christ with my life. I've not made him number one. And the reset for me is huge today. I need to make a decision to give Christ total control of my life. Is there anybody here like that today? If there is, as I look across the room, I just want you to nod at me when I come by you. Anybody like that here today? Need to make that decision this morning. Anybody need to reset? How many of you would say, I'm following Jesus, but I hear what you're saying today, and I need to reset? Now nod at me. Yeah, I'm nodding at you because I hear him saying it to me too. I don't want to live my life pulling up to the gas pump, paying, and not being full. Jesus didn't die on that cross for us to live on empty. He didn't. I have come that you may have life. Hallelujah. And that you may have it more abundantly. More abundantly than everybody else on your job. More abundantly than everybody else in your family. More abundantly, not just to have it abundantly, but so that people can say, what is different about him? There's something different about that guy right there. And maybe if I ask him, hey, what's up with you? That's where I want to live in my relationship with him. As we go to prayer today, if you need that reset, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Like we would hit a button on our phone, I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to do the same thing today. I'm going to ask you to raise one hand, two hands, whatever you feel comfortable doing, and just pray. And say to the Lord, Jesus, I need a routine reset today. Can we do that all over this place? If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you today, Father, I thank you today, God, that you are a God who has endless resources and endless strength. And you don't intend for us to run on empty. And Lord, you see every hand and every person who's here today who's crying out to you saying, Holy Spirit, I hear your voice today. I need a routine reset. I need a reset in my life. God, every hand that's up today, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would allow this word to find deep root in their life in the name of Jesus. I pray that your Holy Spirit would remind them of what we've said this week. I pray today that they would determine today that they will live a life that pursues you and live and pursue a routine, God, where they can know you and know what you've created them to be. Lord, every person here today who's making that choice for the first time, if you're here and your hands are up and you need to come to Jesus for the first time, all you have to do is confess your sin. Confess that you need Him. Declare and believe with your mouth that He is the Son of God, and you will be saved. You will be changed. That's all there is to it. All over this place right now, Jesus, those who are crying out to You, those who are needing that reset, fill them with Your strength today. Fill them with Your power. Fill them with a fresh touch. Lord, when they open their Bible tomorrow, may it be fresh. May it be new. May it be something like they've never experienced before. Lord, I pray for our church right now in this new season that, God, we would come into this place with a new season of expectancy. Not because there's been a change in leadership, but because of who our leader is, and that is You. God, that we would not come with limited expectations, but full of belief and hearts of what You can do and who You are. God, we pray that today, and we thank You for that today. Will You give Him praise right now, thanking Him and praising Him today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. When you go get gas this week and you pull out that card and you put it in there, not only are you not going to forget to put gas in your tank, right, brother? You're also going to remember that you have a Father who has a warehouse full of strength and power and anointing and purpose for your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Josh, our Kids City director, to join me up here. I don't have another gift card, man. I'm out. Pastor Kevin, grab that mic, Josh, as you come. And we're going to close back to school service today by praying for our kids and our teenagers and our college students and our leadership, our teachers. Every child, every kid who's here, come on up. Every kid, come on up. Kid. Elementary school kids. Well, come on up. That's all right. Come on up, kids. That way we can see you. Oh, I love it. Come on. Come around your pastor here. Teenagers, follow him and stand right over here. Stand in the front. Come on, teenagers. Y'all stand right over here. This is your side of the room anyway. Teachers, bus drivers, school personnel, if you work in the school system, any place, come over here. To my left, your right. Spread out a little bit, teenagers. Come close. Come close. School teachers, personnel, leaders, bus drivers, chimney sweeps. Whatever you do, come on over. Step up, kids. We got more that have to come through.
Come this way.
Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Stop. Good. This is an awesome sight today. You know, there's churches that don't have any kids and don't have any teenagers. And look at this place. I think I counted almost 50 people on the platform this morning leading us in worship. We're blessed. Man, I love you guys. And we just want to pray over you today and pray God's blessings over this school year and over what God wants to do and what He has planned in your life. And this is what we're going to do. Josh is going to pray a prayer over our kids. He's going to hand to Pastor Kevin. He's going to pray a prayer over our teenagers and our college students. And then I'm going to pray over our teachers and school personnel. So you know what your job is out there? To stand and watch. No. Your job is to pray. Your kids and grandkids, your church families up here, your families here. Let's pray together over them today. Josh, lead us.
Father God, I thank You, Lord, for these kids. God, I thank You, Lord, that they have the same Holy Spirit that the adults have, Lord God. They don't have a junior version inside of them, Lord Jesus, of You, but But God, they have all of you too, Lord God. I ask you, Lord, as they go into this school year, Lord God, help them to know that. Help them to know, Lord God, that they have all of you. That they have all the power inside of them. And God, that they have purpose. But God, not just because they're small, Lord Jesus, they can't do things, Lord God. Help them to know, Lord God, that there is so much that you have planned for them. Help them, Lord God, to grow more in you this year. Help them to love you more. Help them to get to know you more, Lord Jesus. God, we thank you for it all, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, to bless them this year. Help them, Lord God, to be a blessing to their teachers, to their fellow classmates. Help them, Lord, to have the best year yet. We love you, Jesus. We love them. Bless us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Father, I thank you again for your goodness and your mercy, for your blessings. But Father, you know, and we see the intensity that our teenagers and middle school kids and our college age kids, we see the intensity of how the world is trying to influence them, how the enemy knows that all he has to do is get one generation. But Father, we stand in the gap this morning. We stand in the gap where these teenagers and these kids. Father, I come against the spirit of suicide. I come against the spirit of fear. I come against the spirit of poverty. I come against the spirit of indifference, the spirit of anger. And I lift up the spirit of love. I lift up the spirit of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Father, I pray for this army of young fathers as they go into the school systems, as they go into their schools, as they go into their classrooms. Father, to be lights that will shine out in the darkness. Father, that they will be the light that dispels the darkness. Father, that fear will not be in them. Because you have them under your wings. Father, help them to be the help that someone else in their classroom may need. Help them, Lord, be what you have called them to be for this time and this place. 180 days are coming up and will soon be gone. And I pray, Father, that they would win someone. Share the gospel of Jesus with someone. This school year. And Father, let them be victorious. Let them be overcomers. Father, those that will be in the STEM Academy, these other higher classes, Father, I pray for wisdom. I pray, Father, that you would be with them, undergird them, give them the knowledge that they need. Father, we love you today. And we thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray for them as they go to school, on their rides to school, on the buses as they go to school, that there will be no more loss of young people this year. We claim it in Jesus' name.
God, we lift up our teachers, our bus drivers, our administrators, every person, God, who serves in our schools today. And Lord, I thank you today that in this body we have an incredible amount, an incredible representation throughout our county with the teachers and leaders that stand here. God, I pray, Lord, your covering over them today. I pray, Lord, your protection over them. God, as they drive back and forth to school. I pray, God, as they minister to kids, and they do minister. God, they are your hands and they are your feet. They are a light in a dark place. God, the kids that they minister to who never experienced love at home, God, may they experience your love through these men and women as they serve them. God, I pray that you would give them energy.
I pray you would fill them with your Spirit to do the job that you've called them to do. I pray that you would sustain them with patience when they run out of patience. I pray that you would give them love for students that are hard to love and hard to deal with. I pray that you'll give them favor with their administration. Favor, God, with the Board of Education. Favor in the things that they do. God, as they share who you are in their lives, God, we pray you'll protect them from everything that the enemy may do. God, to silence their voice. God, use them. God, those who are standing here who are brand new teachers this year, God, I pray you'll give them an incredible year. God, I pray that you would just give them confidence in you. Remind them over the coming days that they are ready for what lies ahead for them. And I just pray you'll bless them with an incredibly awesome year. God, that they would do incredible things from you. Protect them. Touch them, Lord. Give them divine appointments this year among their peers, yes, among fellow teachers, among administrators, among students, where they can show and be your light. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do in and through them today and for the light that they are in our schools. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'm proud of you guys. Jennifer and Bev, I'm proud of y'all. Your first year teaching, that's huge. You've worked real hard, and God's going to bless you with a great year this year, Jennifer. Your first year teaching, man, I'm so excited. And all the rest of you, just doing what you do, faithful. What a blessing to have you guys in our schools. How awesome is it? Are you teaching this year? Next year. All right. It's coming. Coaching on ball teams, administrators, driving the bus. Pray for this woman as she drives a bus. And that's right. And Brittany too. My goodness. Driving bus and doing hair all at the same time. My goodness. I'm telling you. Look, this is just great, man. This is great. What an incredible day we've had in the presence of the Lord. I love you, church. Have a great week. We'll see you back here Wednesday night. God bless you.
Testing. Hey guys, those of you that are on the drama team, we need to have a meeting up front, please. Drama team and parents. Drama team and parents, please come to the front, please, for a quick meeting about tomorrow when we're leaving.